Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, and when you found that, if you would stand with me for the reading of the word this morning. Proverbs chapter 27, and once you have found that, if you would skip down to verse number 18. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. I want to read that one more time. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. And the whole church said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. For just a few moments this morning, I want to preach on the thought, the fig tree is in full bloom. The fig tree is in full bloom. Last week we talked about how for the past several months I have been blazing the trail, if you will, laying down the foundation on things that have been going on and are continuing to go on in our society and things that are prophetic and how things are unfolding. And last week we talked about how we're felt by the Spirit of the Lord tugging at our heartstrings that it's time to change gears and take all of the things that we have laid out, that the Lord has laid on our heart over those past months. We've laid those things out. It's time to switch gears and take all of that and move forward in a positive way and get a hold of heaven on behalf of our nation. Our nation is in dire straits right now. We could make it a point, Brother Gene, to till the cows come home, so to speak, talk about nothing but all the negative things that are going on. We could make it a point to the only thing we want to do is gripe and grumble and complain about the bad things that are happening, Brother Archie. But feel from the Spirit of the Lord that it's time for Zion to travail on behalf of the United States of America. God can do anything. And just the fact of what we spoke on last week about how God said in the last days that he would turn the hearts of Israel back to him. Well, if you remember, I made the statement, if God can and he will turn the hearts of Israel back to him, he can do the same thing for the American people as well. There's nothing impossible with our God. But it takes you and I being the, quote, Lone Ranger that we spoke of last week, blazing the trail, getting out there and tell, not being ashamed, not being afraid, Brother Tom, to look people in the eye and tell them the truth, that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And it's not a popular message, and we don't like it, and nobody likes resistance. We certainly don't like it when somebody calls us a hater. We certainly don't like it when we hear things about how the Christians are being persecuted. But I've got news for us today. We're no better than our brothers and sisters long before us that blazed the trail. God expects us to do the same thing. I'm sure if we were able to bring back a God's servant Daniel today and talk to him and ask him, Daniel, what was going through your mind when the king had you thrown into lion's den? I'm sure that Brother Daniel would tell us it was no picnic. He prayed three times a day, as we know, with his windows open. But I believe with all my heart, Brother Gene, if we could bring him back and have him stand up before this church and give his testimony, I believe he would let us know that it was a great trial of his faith. It was not anything that he enjoyed going through. Same way with all the other patriarchs of old. We are no better than our brothers and sisters. But we've got to take these things that we've been laying out for months, and we've got to make a choice as a church. I can't help the church down the street. I can't help the big mega churches that have the thousands of people that they're preaching to, or any other church for that matter. God has called me to pastor this church, and it is my job to convey to each and every one of you here that we have a choice right here at the Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We can be movers of the Word of God, or we can be stagnant. We can sit and gripe and murmur and complain about the things that are going on and do absolutely nothing about it, or we can hit our knees, Brother Archie. We can intercede on behalf of America and plead with God to turn the hearts of people back to where they need to be. So it brings us to our scripture and the thought being the fig tree is in full bloom. In Proverbs 27, we just read, "Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof." I want to take that first part right there, and I want us to look at this one word, keepeth, in the Hebrew. And what it simply means is to guard or to watch over. How many know as children of God, we've got to guard ourselves? It is a full-time job guarding ourselves. And we're going to get more into that here in a little bit. But if we're going to be a keeper of the fig tree, speaking of ourselves, we have got to guard ourselves and we've got to keep ourselves. Now, when you keep something, that means you take care of it. You don't let it get out of control. You don't let it get to the point, Brother Archie, where it's no longer bringing forth fruit. But a tree's got to be pruned. There's sometimes you've got to do some pruning to that tree. And as a spiritual tree, when we are willing to allow, Sister Darlene, the Holy Ghost to prune us, it doesn't always feel good. It is not always a pleasant experience, Brother Gene, when the Holy Ghost comes to us and begins to snip off parts of us that we want to hold on to. But if we're going to reap the fruits or the benefits, we've got to be willing to guard ourselves, and we've got to be willing to keep ourselves for the Lord. The next thing I want us to look at is this word waiteth. It means to guard, to give heed, to keep, and to observe. We've got to observe the things that are going around us. We can't bury our head in the sand and pretend like everything's hunky-dory. And there's a lot of people today doing that. They're convinced that this time's no different than any other time. There's one big difference between this time and all the other times in the past where they heard of earthquakes and wars and things, is this day and age we live in, it's all happening at the same time. Just like the Bible said it would. Just like Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 24. He said, well, let me just read it to you. Matthew 24 verses 32 and 33. He said, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves," notice this terminology here, "you know that summer is nigh." Notice he didn't say, "You notice summer is here." He said, "You know that it is nigh." "So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all of these things, know that it is" what? "Near, even at the doors." That should give us more of an attitude of going forward for God, and more of a perseverance than what we've ever had. Now that last part of Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 18, that last word, last phrase says, "shall be honored." That word honored means to exalt, to praise, to laud, to be promoted or raised to a superior status or position. How many knows that the benefits can only come when the course has been completed? Ain't nobody going to hand out a trophy to a quitter. They had a popular TV show on the other night, and they had a person that just gave up. And the host of the show got a little put out with him. He said, "This is twice you've done this now. You just gave up. And look at what you've done to your team. Look at the condition you've left your team in because you gave up." And there's a lot of Christians today that are doing that. They're just giving up, Brother Archie. There's a lot of Christians today that think they should reap the benefits of the Lord. "Oh, God, help me in my situation. Brother Jimmy, get the church praying for my situation." Well, what are you doing about your situation? We want the trophy, but we don't want to finish the race. But we've got to be willing to finish the race. And so in Matthew 24, he said, "Consider the fig tree." He said, it's amazing, and put it in our own terminology, I believe what Jesus was saying was, it's amazing that you folks can look at a tree and just by the tenderness of the branch and the shooting forth of the leaves, you know that summer is nigh. How is it that you can't discern the spiritual things, the things that are around you that are taking place? We've got to guard. We've got to be about our Father's business. There. Now, I want to talk just for a few moments this morning and draw a parallel, if I could, between the literal fig tree that we're speaking of here in the Word of God and the spiritual fig tree. Now, as speaking of the literal fig tree, there's two basic crops, if you will, of a fig tree. The first crop is known as the breba crop. And it is like a pre-crop, if you will. It doesn't produce as much figs as what the second crop, known as the abundant crop or the main crop, as some people refer to it, it produces much. Two separate independent crops. And the thing that the Lord showed me through that, Sister Brenda, is much the same with the church. When Jesus began his ministry and called his disciples and they went out, and the Bible said that there was 3,000 added to the church after Jesus had ascended to the Father. 3,000. And we think that's a pretty good number. But Jesus told his disciples, Brother Mark, he said, "These works that you've seen me do, you will do, and yet greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father." So the first crop that took place, the first crop that happened, was that under the ministry that Jesus started from the very beginning. Yes, there was an influx of people. But when you look at the abundant crop, and that is the day and age in which we live in right now, you see a massive number of people being saved. It's not just here in the United States of America. It's in every part of the world, something that could not be accomplished in Jesus' time. What do you mean, Brother Jimmy? God can do anything. Yes, God can do anything. But we are his hands and we are his feet. And back in Jesus' day, there was no such thing known as a jet plane. There was no way to get from the United States of America to Russia in a matter of minutes. Yes, Jesus could have done it. There's no doubt about it. He just did by thinking he could be anywhere he wanted to be. But that wasn't the plan, was it? There was the first crop, but yet he was looking down the road to the abundant crop that was to come. And that's where you and I come into play. And that's where God expects us, Brother Gene, to be about our Father's business. So this fig tree has two crops. Another way to look at it is you've got the Jews that God entrusted with the law. They started out good until they got their eyes on other idol gods. And then you can look at the second crop being the Gentile, the church age. There's two different ways to look at that. But I want us to look at some other attributes of the fig tree. There are more than 700 different varieties of the fig tree. And the more I thought on that and thought on the church, I thought, Lord, it's the same way in the church. We've got this denomination and we've got that denomination. And we got this brother that sees it this way, and we've got that brother that sees it that way. And we've got the Pentecostals, and we've got the Baptists, and we've got the Nazarenes, and we've got the born-again Catholics, and we got the born-again Jews, and we got the born-again Muslims, and we got the born-again Mormons. And I say it that way because the reason why I say born-again is those last four that I named are the hardest people in the world to convert to Christianity because they've been brainwashed from the time that they've been raised. Catholics and Mormons are tough. But Jews and Muslims are even worse. So that's why I call them born again. All these different denominations, all these different views, which brings me to my next point. Statistically, on a fig tree, the way that it is manufactured are by muscular twisted branches. What we have is a twisted church. We have a twisted body of Christ. A lot could be preached about that too, Brother Archie. But we've got these branches, Brother Gene, twisted in every different type of direction. And I've often wondered, Lord, how can everybody who has the same Bible we have look at things so differently? Why is it that one believes one way and one believes another, and how can that be so? But then the Lord showed me the next part of the fig tree. All of those twisted branches are attached to one straight trunk. We might not understand, Brother Gene, now, why it is that one church goes one direction and another church goes another direction. We might not understand that now, but we also do not understand the mind of God. We don't know why God has called this brother or that sister and say, go in this direction and you go there. We look at it in our own little altar that we build. And if people don't come under our little altar, then they must not be right. There's something wrong with them, or they need to be rebuked or whatever. That is ungodly. That is self-righteous. That is holy than thou, and you and I are not God. Yes, I'm Pentecostal, and yes, I believe in shouting. Yes, I believe in speaking tongues, and yes, I believe there has to be a separation, and we are a peculiar people. But I got enough good godly sense to know that what I wear doesn't save me. Where I go doesn't save me. What I eat doesn't save me. What I drink doesn't save me. The only thing that saves me is my profession upon Jesus Christ, accepting Him as Lord of my life. I cannot judge you. You cannot judge me. Why? Because Jesus said, with whatsoever measure of judgment you use against your brother, it will be measured unto you again. I don't know about you, but I don't want that coming back on me. God has called Pastor Jimmy to pastor the Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle and to preach the messages that he lays on my heart. Guess what, church? If you don't like it, get over it. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. You mean you're asking me to leave? You better believe I'm asking you to leave. I don't want you to sit here under my preaching and dry up and go to a devil's hell because you don't see eye to eye with Pastor Jimmy. There's enough twisted branches to go around. Pick one, but keep Jesus first. We're twisted. There's over 700 different varieties of the fig tree, just like there are many different operations of the church. I would shudder to think, Brother Archie, how difficult it would be, let alone sleepless nights that I would have, to think that I had to go take a jet plane to Kenya and fulfill the office of a missionary. That I had to go visit Brother Shunsky and Brother Collins and fit all these things in within a week and be a missionary here and there and everywhere. By the way, make sure I fit in time to go to the jail cell and visit those that are in the jail. And oh, don't forget those shut-ins in the nursing homes. I got to visit them too. And still have time to prepare for two messages on Sunday and take care of a Wednesday night Bible study, take care of the singing, take care of visiting the sick. Do you see where I'm going with this? God has hands and feet. He has people everywhere to get the job done. And it's not our place to judge. Who do we think we are? Who does anybody think they are that they have the right to judge another man or another woman? Bless God, I'll straighten them out. Straighten yourself out first. Take care of your own hypocritical ways first. There's people that'll stand up in the church and they'll testify, and most of the people in the church are fooled by them. I had a father that was like that. He was one way in the house of God, and he was another way at home. He would get up and testify about the grapevines. He said, I went to the altar, and Brother Harry Saunders was on one side slapping me in the back, saying, put him in the vineyard, Lord. He said, I looked around, and there was no grapes anywhere. And he had most of the church laughing while he was telling the story. And on the way home, he was cussing us kids out in the back seat of the car. Me and Mom would go hold revivals. He'd get up and sing and play his guitar and say, come on over to the winning side. And on the way home, he'd beat us half to death. There's people standing up every day in a church house because they want people to think they're godly, holy, that they got the goods. But when they get home, they mistreat their wife. When they get home, they throw fits and throw things out in the front yard. I know a family member put his fist through a computer one time because he got mad, whatever, keyboard, whatever it was, smashed it to pieces. But I'm sanctified. I'm a Holy Ghost filled. I'm a Pentecostal speaking in tongue person. You're not a judge. And God didn't give you the authority to line up your brother or sister. That's His job. That's not even my job. I know of a local pastor, I won't mention names because some of you know him, literally goes to the house of people to see if some of his flock are wearing pants or shorts. At what point did he leave this and create his own doctrine? Years ago, I preached a message. You cannot create another Calvary. There's only one prescribed way that God orchestrated and that God set up, and that was through His Son, Jesus Christ. And thank God, because the Bible says it like this. He who will live by the law must abide by the whole law. That means you can't rip out pages you don't like and say, well, this is what we believe, bless God, we're holiness. I don't know of a, quote, holiness person today that could abide by the law that God laid down. The Jew couldn't do it, and there's not a Pentecostal church around today, Pentecostal Holy Church, Baptist Holiness Church, whatever denomination you want to put on it, Amish, Quaker, whatever, that can abide by God's holiness. Our righteousness, the Bible said, is as filthy rags. And for us to think we're holier than thou and we're going to line somebody up because they're not living according to our altar, we've become what I like to refer to as a modern-day Pharisee. And that's how God views it. Twisted branches on the same straight trunk. The fig tree can grow anywhere from 10 feet to 50 feet tall. And those twisted branches I was talking about are as wide as they are high. What are you trying to say, Brother Jimmy? What I'm trying to say is they're reaching out. Leave them alone. Jesus' own disciples, when they witnessed someone who wasn't walking according to the way they were, Brother Gene, Lord, should you rain down fire right now and devour them? Jesus said, no. If they're not against us, they're for us. There was another time when they were seeing hypocrites. Lord, should we rebuke them? Should we get them out of there? Jesus said, no, just let them grow. In the last day, I'll take care of them. See, that's the way between a wheat and a tare. When they start up, they look identical. But when they come to full blossom, only one's going to produce fruit. I don't know about you, but I want to be one that produces the fruit. Can I tell you this morning, the fig tree is in full blossom. We're living in that time right now. Some of the best tasting fig trees, and there's a bunch of them, but these are the top five I wrote down. And you're going to see why here in a minute. The first one is known as a celestial fig. The second one is a Marcellus. The third one is called a Black Mission. The fourth is called Osborne's Prolific. And the fifth one is an Italian Everbearing. Here's the color of them. Brown, yellow, black, red, and white. Woo! God's twisted branches are made up of white folks, black folks, red folks, yellow folks, and brown folks. So any other kind, if you find one that's green, they got a fig tree that produces green fruit too. It covers them all. There's one that says it even has a purplish look to it. What are you saying, Brother Jimmy? Red and yellow, black and white, we're all precious in His sight, and it doesn't make a difference what our denomination is. What makes the difference is, have you believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, to wrap all and tie all that together, I'll say this. Yes, every church has to have structure. We can't come together and be confused, because confusion is not of God. He said, let everything be done decently and in order. I'll give you an example for the Pentecostal churches. If we're in service and there's four or five people jumping up and they're all speaking in tongues out loud at the same time, and somebody comes in the back door and they're not Pentecostal, what does the Bible say they're going to think about you? They're going to think you're mad. They're going to think you lost your mind. So Paul had to lay out to the Corinthian church that was guilty of doing that. He said, if you're going to prophesy, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret, that everything might be done decently and in order. Here's where my denomination has veered off course very badly in some cases. Anything goes. They take baby oil and pour it down people's throat. And then when the people vomit because they're sick from it, they say they're casting out a devil. They take baby oil and pour it down somebody's eardrum because the Lord told them to, bless God, so that their ear is, rather than doing it the Bible way and laying on hands and anointing their head with oil, that the prayer of faith can save the sick, that baby oil ain't going to save or help anybody. I watched a widely known evangelist that a lot of people have confidence in, and I will not mention his name because some of you I know will fall out with me if I do. But he had thousands of people in that church doing nothing but laughing at each other and called it a laughing spirit. Now, let me tell you the difference between a genuine and that fake and phony. Sister Jenny, I've heard her laugh in the spirit, but you know what the difference is? She doesn't make a spectacle out of herself. She doesn't cause the whole service to come to a screeching halt. And everybody's watching Sister Jenny laugh in the spirit. We're talking about almost 3,000 people as this evangelist walked by and kept looking at everybody. Ha, 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 ha. And then they'd start laughing. Ha, 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 ha. How does that glorify God, folks? Now, I'm talking about the Pentecostals because I'm Pentecostal. There is a proper order to everything that is done. And when we get out of the concepts of God's word and we start making our own rules and regulations and doing things in our own way, all of the attention leaves from Jesus to the individual. Telling people, stand up, sit down, shut up, laugh, cry, speak in tongues, you prophesy, you run the aisle. I've been in churches where they do that. And guess what, Brother Gene? I got up and left. I've had two or three different pastors in my lifetime. Come up here, Brother Ronnie. I'm doing this so you can learn, okay? Now, these people claim to be Pentecostal, Holy Ghost filled, baptized, speaking in tongues, and they'll pray for you, and this is what they do. Pray. Come on, brother, come on! God don't need our help. If he wants to slay someone in the spirit, he's not going to use us, Brother Archie, to break their neck in the process. I've had two or three of them, Brother Gene, try their best to push me down in the floor. I said, it ain't happening. I had one tell me to stand up and jump up and down. I said, it ain't happening. If I dance, it'll be by the dancer. If I speak in tongues, it'll be by the Holy Ghost as he gives the utterance. So I don't know how I got off on all that, but here's what I'm trying to say, folks. If we're not doing it according to the Bible way, we're out of the way. So the fig tree's produced over 700 different varieties. Its branches are muscular and twisted, as wide as they are high. And the skin of the fruit is, I love that, the skin of the fruit is of every different kind of color you can think of. So much for my four and no more. There's some of them that'll say only 144,000 is going to heaven. Sorry about your luck if you're not in that number. Some of them will say, unless you've been scrubbed down with borax bleach, you're not going to make it into heaven. Some of them say, if you drink coffee, you're going to hell. Man, you know, the Bible tells us what they thought about Jesus when he sat with the publicans and sinners. They called him a wine bibber because he sat with them. What about modern day people like Bob Harrington, who goes into the bars, jumps up on their bar table, and starts preaching at them? He said he walked in one night, before he went into the bar, rather, he seen some guy come flying out the front door. And the guy's laying there plastered drunk, and he said, what's wrong with you? They threw me out. So he said, I picked him back up and took him back in, said, you got him drunk, you babysit him. So he said, then they threw both of us out. And he looked at him and he said, why are you in the condition you're in? He said, you don't understand me, Brother Bob. He said, well, try me. He said, if you knew my wife, you'd know. He said, no man's wife can make him drink. He said, you don't know my wife. He said, let me meet her. He said, he did. And I said, pour me one. Now, he was joking. But my point is this. He went to where the need was. And there's a lot of churches today, Brother Tom, that we want to stay within our manufactured cubicle. Pastor Tim, my pastor, told me, this has been about 5 years ago or so, maybe a little longer, they were in a service one night. And a whole group of people walked in the back door. They were apostolic. He said he knew immediately in his spirit he was going to have problems. Got near to the end of the service. They gave an altar call. People were praying. Some of them were giving their heart to the Lord. And the one lady come walking up with her hair piled up and everything, which I'm not against that if that's what you feel to do. Made her way to the platform the whole time. Pastor Tim's watching her. Grabbed a microphone and at the top of her lungs starts screaming, that's not of God. You're not praying in Jesus only. That's the devil. And just ranting and raving, he said he went over to grab the microphone out of her hand and she dug her fingernails into his skin. He had to have two or three men of the church carry her out while she's kicking and screaming along with the rest of the crowd. My point being is this. Jesus said, whosoever will come. He didn't say, as long as you're Pentecostal. He didn't say, as long as you're apostolic. He didn't say, as long as you're Baptist, and so on and so forth. He said, whosoever will come. Amen. He didn't say anything about the way we dress or the way we conduct ourselves, any of that kind of stuff. Yes, there's a way to live. Yes, there's a right way to live, and you all know what I stand for. But the bottom line is this. We cannot judge our brother and sister, and if we think we can, we fool ourselves. God will cut us down.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haining and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.